Okay, I'll send a handyman. But you'll keep the cash for yourself, Reacher thought. 500. Reacher said, deal. Pauling opened her purse and her wallet and licked her thumb and counted off $500 bills, folded them around her index finger and slipped them across the desk. 12th floor. Turn left, go to the door at the end on the right. The handyman will meet you there. He pointed toward the elevator bank and picked up a walkie-talkie to summon the guy. Reacher and Pauling stepped over and pressed the up arrow. An elevator door slid open like it had been waiting for them.
You owe me a lot of money.
I'm good for it. I'll be rich tonight.
I hope the staff in my building are better than that.
Dream on. I was in and out of a lot of buildings back in the day.
You had a bribery budget?
Huge. Before the peace dividend. That dropped a rock on a lot of budgets. The elevator car stopped on 12 and the door slid back. The corridor was part exposed brick and part white paint, and the only lighting was supplied by television screens set waist-high behind glass. They were all glowing dim purple.
Nice, Pauling said.
I like your place better. They turned left and found the end door on the right. It had an integrated box mounted eye-high with a peephole lens and an apartment number and a slot with a black tape sign that said Taylor. Northeast corner of the building. The corridor was still and quiet and smelled faintly of air freshener or carpet cleaner. Reacher asked, what is he paying for a place like this?
Rental?
Pauling said. She glanced at the distance between doors to judge the size of the apartments and said,
small two-bedroom, maybe $4,000 a month, maybe $4.25 in a building like this.
That's a lot.
Not when you make 25.
To their right, the elevator bell dinged, and a man in a green uniform and a tan tool belt stepped off. The handyman. He walked up and pulled a key ring from his pocket. Asked no questions, just unlocked Taylor's door and pushed it open and stood back. Reacher went in first. The apartment felt empty. The air inside was hot and still. There was a foyer the size of a phone booth, and then a stainless steel kitchen on the left and a coat closet on the right. Living room, dead ahead. Two bedrooms side by side, away to the left, one of them larger than the other. The kitchen and the living room were spotlessly clean and immaculately tidy. The decor was mid-century modern, restrained, tasteful, masculine. Dark wood floors, pale walls, thick wool rugs. There was a maple desk, an Eames lounge chair, and an ottoman opposite a Florence Knoll sofa. A Le Corbusier chaise and an Oguchi coffee table. Stylish, not cheap. Classic pieces. Reacher recognized them from pictures and magazines he had read. There was an original painting on the wall, an urban scene, busy, bright, vibrant, acrylic on canvas. There were lots of books, shelved neatly and alphabetically. A small television set. Lots of CDs and a quality music system dedicated to headphones only. No loudspeakers. A considerate guy. A good neighbor.
Very elegant, Pauling said.
An Englishman in New York. Probably drank tea. The bigger bedroom was spare, almost monastic. White walls, a king bed, gray linens, an Italian desk light on a night table, more books, another painting by the same artist. The closet had a hanging rail and a wall of open shelves. The rail was full of suits and jackets and shirts and pants, grouped precisely by season and color. Each garment was clean and pressed and ironed. Each hanger was exactly 1 inch from the next. The shelves were stacked with piles of t-shirts and underwear and socks. Each stack was exactly vertical and the same height as all the others. The bottom shelf held shoes. They were all solid English items like Reacher's own. Black and brown, shined like mirrors. They all had cedar shoe trees in them.
This is amazing, Pauling said. I want to marry this guy.
Reacher said nothing and moved on to the second bedroom. The second bedroom was where the money, or the will, or the enthusiasm had run out. It was a small, plain, undecorated space. It felt unused. It was dark and hot and damp. There was no light bulb in the ceiling fixture.
The room held nothing but two narrow iron beds. They had been pushed together. There were used sheets on them, dented pillows. The window was covered with a width of black fabric. It had been duct taped to the walls, across the top, across the bottom, down both sides. But the tape had been picked away on one side, and a narrow rectangle of cloth had been folded back to provide a sliver of a view, or air, or ventilation. "This is it," Reacher said. "This is where Kate and Jade were hidden."
"By who? The man who can't talk?"
"Yes, the man who can't talk hid them here."
Chapter 52. Pauling stepped over next to the twin beds and bent to examine the pillows.
"Long dark hairs,
a woman's and a girl's. They were tossing and turning all night." "I bet they were."
"Maybe two nights."
Reacher walked back to the living room and checked the desk. The handyman watched him from the doorway. The desk was as neatly organized as the closet, but there wasn't much in it. Some personal papers, some financial papers, some lease papers for the apartment. Taylor's first name was Graham. He was a UK citizen and a resident alien. He had a social security number, and a life insurance policy and a retirement plan. There was a console telephone on the desk, a stylish thing, made by Siemens. It looked brand new and recently installed. It had 10 speed dial buttons with paper strips next to them under plastic. The paper strips were marked with initials only. At the top was L. For Lane, Reacher guessed. He hit the corresponding button, and a 212 number lit up in neat alphanumeric script in a gray LCD window. Manhattan. The Dakota, presumably. He hit the other 9 buttons one after the other. The gray window showed 3 212 numbers, 3 917 numbers, 2 718s, and a long number with 01144 at the beginning. The 212s would all be in Manhattan. Buddies, probably. Maybe including Gregory, because there was a G on the paper strip. The 917s would be cell phones. Maybe for the same set of guys, for when they were on the road, or for people who didn't have landlines. The 718s would be for Brooklyn, probably buddies who weren't up for Manhattan rents. The long 01144 number would be for Great Britain. Family, maybe. The corresponding initial was S, a mom or a dad, possibly. Reacher kept on pressing buttons on the phone for a while, and then he finished up at the desk and went back to the second bedroom. Pauling was standing at the window, half turned away, looking through the narrow slot.